local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy, while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing health care, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Hello, you are listening to Love Notes on CITR 101.9. Today we are broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
Welcome back, everyone. We have to address something straight off the bat, and it's that there's this window in CITR between studios. We're in Studio B, and in Studio A is Mr. Nardwar currently, and for all Vancouverites and beyond, that's pretty major. So if you hear us distracted at all by the glory of a, you know, cultural icon a mere window away, then do excuse us. But we have another icon to share with you.
Yes, we do. Introduce yourself, other icon.
Yes.
Oh, God. That's quite someone to follow up. My name is Bryn. I am here because of my love for music, and also Naomi, and I'm sure soon a love for Pika. I feel like it's soon to like fruit. You know what I mean?
This is the way to do it. This is the way to get to know that. Bryn is one of the first people that I met who let me know that she's heard a bunch of Love Notes episodes, and of course that's the way to my heart. In addition to many other things, you absolutely do not need to listen to my radio show for friends. But that was, like, the sweetest thing ever, honestly, that you like it. And we have so much in common, so I felt like
We
bonded over podcasts now as well. But I knew instantly. I was, like, immediately begging on my knees for you to come on the show.
I was so excited. We got reconnected through a mutual friend. And I was like, how do I not be creepy to this girl who I think is really cool? How do I tell her that I've been secretly listening to her radio show for, like, as long as it's been coming out, because I stalked her on social media one random day?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, how do I? And gracious as always, you did not think I was super creepy, which is really good for me that you didn't think I was creepy.
It was genuinely a dream come true. And if anyone listens, please let me know, because it feels like we're talking to a void sometimes. Just kidding. Anyway, Bryn,
yes,
please let us know who, or rather, what plays.
Spoiler.
Who are you making this love note for? Let's get into it.
So this love note is not to a person, as you kind of insinuated, but it's to the cabin that I lived in during the pandemic. You proposed the idea of me coming on the podcast, and obviously I jumped for joy and then said, oh no, who do I write the love note to? And decided to, write it to the cabin that I lived in, because I just thought if I was going to actually sit down and write a love note, that's who I would write it to. And I know that I shouldn't maybe call it who, because it's a building, but it was just like a really important and pivotal moment. I mean, if anyone in my life listens to this who knows this cabin that I lived in, they'll probably know it as the clinic, which for ease I'll call it the cabin during this episode. But I lived in Squamish during the pandemic, and then when Omicron happened again and everything closed up, I had to move out of the place I was living due to unforeseeable rat issues. And then I moved into this cabin right on the Chequemus River. Or in the Squamish language, it's Chiyakumish, which means the people or place of the fish weir, mm-hmm. which I always just loved. I mean, like, gotta love a cultural and historical name, like, all mm-hmm. in one. And I like it because it kind of sounds like the sound the river makes if you ever stood next to it. But, yeah, so I just thought about, like, foundational moments, and I thought about this place and how much I love it.
That's amazing. One of the questions that we usually ask guests is, does your person know that you are making this love note for them? But I guess the cabin doesn't know. Does anyone else in your life know that you're making it for this cabin?
Yeah, I told my boyfriend, and who thankfully wasn't insulted that I chose to make a love note to a cabin instead of him. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. I think because he knows how important this place is. I mean, I spent most of my like foundational teen years like in and out of this place. And then I volunteered there when I was in high school and then moved there during a gap year in university. And then the pandemic hit, and obviously, and then like the multiple iterations of the pandemic. And so I think he'll feature later in the love note. But he was pretty foundational during this time as well, as I kind of like got really acquainted with what it meant to be lonely living in a cabin on 420 acres of land, alone.
Okay. This just solidifies brand my mind in this insane image I have of her, but like, there's nothing that's proven me wrong yet, and it's that she is the perfect whimsical, woodsy, crafty, sporty, charming, beautiful woman. Like, I cannot get over it. Like, when she was like, is it okay if I do it for a cabin? I was like, she's done it again. Like, Brynn continues to raise the bar of, like, how dreamy and incredible she can be.
Wow, I'm so honored.
But yeah, not to rush us on, but I'm so excited to hear the music as well, because I know we have some overlapping music taste, and would you be willing to intro the first song for us that you would like to give to this cabin?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first song was on like repeat during the time I first moved in. So I lived there for not a very long period of time. In the end, it only ended up being from the beginning of December of 2021 to the end of April 2022-ish, I think. And so through like a really long and what ended up being like a pretty unseasonably cold winter in Squamish. And like the cabin was built in the 1960s. And if you can imagine, one of the walls was made of French doors, which were single pane glass. So it was very cold,
yeah.
Like all of the time. And I am a wimp. I'll say it. I don't love sleeping in the cold. I don't like being very cold. And it was just frigid. And this song just made a lot of sense to me. And I really felt it. And I mean, like, at the time, I was still learning what it meant to be alone. Like, I couldn't really go into town. Everything in town was closed. Mm-hmm. I was living almost alone completely on this site. And so listening to Phoebe, who features on this song, is part of her band, Better Oblivion Community Center. Like, when she sings, you can almost feel, like, pain in her voice, whether it's a love song or anything at all. Like, you can feel the pain. And I don't know. I was really feeling the pain. And I didn't know what it meant to be lonely and meant to be alone without feeling lonely, I guess. And so, yeah, it was definitely a tricky time. And I was, I don't know how personal to get on a radio show, but was really suffering with my mental health and anxiety at the time as well. And just, like, this song was one that, not the lyrics so much, but just like the mood and the vibe and just this melancholy just made so much sense to me. So yeah, the first song is Didn't Know What I Was In For by Better Oblivion Community Center.
My telephone, it doesn't have a camera. If it did, I'd take a picture of myself. If it did, I'd take a picture of the water and the man on the off ramp holding up the sign that's asking me for help. I got a job and I'll work here for the summer. Fold the towels and set them by the pool. Everyone looks happy with each other till they step away and say the thing they really meant. It always sounds so cruel. There's no way I'm curing cancer. proud now for all the good I've done. I know a girl who owns a boutique in the city, selling clothes to the fashionably late. Says she cries at the news but doesn't really, 'cause it's too much fun, there's too much time, and too much plastic money to be made.
I forgot how much I love that song. Thank you so much for bringing it into the app.
Oh, thank you for letting me. It's a pretty heartbreaking one, but I don't know. I think it was really interesting because it's such a lonely and melancholy sounding song, and I was lonely and melancholy too, and I was just in these few square feet, and you know, music like that and those few square feet. It was really interesting. Like how much comfort that brought me, while I was, like I said, kind of figuring out what it meant to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, I guess it reminded me a lot about how I was making this weird transition between like having everything up in the air and everything was this crazy, overwhelming race that it felt like I was running. And I had to come to terms with like what settles when the dust falls, like what is there, what's left behind. And I remember like listening to this song and being like, oh my God, I'm a person. Do I like what's left behind when the dust settles? Which was like a crazy, like, it was so crazy to have to come to terms with that. And I still don't know if I have, but in the moment, it was definitely something I was working on.
Do you mean like the dust settling, like after the crisis of everything shutting down and everything, or like just after like mental health stuff and like, what was the dust settling from?
Yeah, I think it's definitely mental health stuff. Like, by dust, I mean kind of, like, the busyness, like, that I was putting myself in. Because if you're so busy, you're not ever allowed to have those quiet moments with mm-hmm. the things that are left behind. But then when you do have those quiet moments, you kind of have to come to terms with, like, what's still there. The things that, like, aren't just a product of that busy craziness. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you just have this stillness and you're like, oh, my gosh, now I have to confront, like, whether the things that are left behind are good and whether I like them.
Yeah.
Which is very tricky to do. Yeah. Like, it's not fun, I would say, actually.
Yeah.
It's not very fun.
Do you think that it's important for people to have a chance to mm-hmm. live alone or to learn how to be with themselves when they're alone, even if it's not necessarily their happiest state?
I think it's so important, which is part of the reason why I wanted to pick The Cabin as my love note, was because of how grateful like how grateful I am for this time that I got, because I when it started and when I had to move out of the place I was living because there were rats freezing in my wall, which I have to say is one of the craziest things that's happened to me. But like, I couldn't believe that this was something I had. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I slept with an axe next to my bed. Like, I was scared. I was alone. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to anyone all day. Okay, it's been 2 days and I haven't seen anyone. It's been 3 days and it's just me. Okay. And I would occasionally, you know, I would work virtually, or I would go into an office and sit in another room where it was just me and my boss. The two of us were like the only people there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's like this crazy, crazy thing, but yeah. I would really recommend it. I mean, like, it was hard, but I mean, at the same time, it was really beautiful, because you have to at some point confront those, and to be able to do that in almost what felt kind of now looking back as a controlled environment was probably the best I could have asked for.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I think we need to make a movie about you and this cabin. Obviously, soundtrack will be incredible. Second of all, I'm wondering, like, did you move for your job, or like, were you moving to confront things? Like, I just can't imagine, like, I'm such like a people person. I know you are too. Mm-hmm. And I know that those things are healthy for me, but I feel like it would take a lot for me to be like, oh, I'm going to be moving to this cabin and I won't be seeing people for 3 days. And like, how did you end up there?
Well, it wasn't intentional. So when I got offered the job, I was like, I can't do online school anymore. University had been online. I was like, I just can't do this anymore. And so I moved to Squamish to work this job. And it was like my dream job. Everything about it was perfect. And then I did that for a few months, and then Omicron happened. And so everything shut down again for the second time after like the first bout of pandemic closures. And so I was like, okay, well, we'll just have, and at the time everyone was like, it'll just be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then we'll open back up again. But since we were running programs for kids, we couldn't have anyone come to the site where I was working. Mm-hmm. And so further on the other end of the site from where I was living before, they were like, okay, well, the place you're living is gross and smells really bad because of said dead rats. Mm-hmm. Move into this other place just for temporary, like a week. And then it ended up being like 5 months. Mm-hmm. Just because no one really knew that we weren't going to be able to have students on site. Nobody knew that we weren't going to be able to go get a coffee in town. We weren't going to be able to work next to each other for a while again. And so it wasn't intentional, but it ended up being like kind of a blessing in that way. But yeah, definitely, I don't think I would have signed up for it. I don't think I'm strong enough, or maybe now, but I don't think I would have been at the time strong enough to sign up for that if I had known.
Of course, not strong enough just makes me think of another Phoebe Bridgers song.
So good. It's so good.
Speaking of, though, we've got to hear about your next song. What's it going to be?
Oh, this song is so important to me. This, like, the performance, the words, and it kind of, like, the reason I picked it was because I have this memory of it being 9 p.m., and obviously it was winter, so it was pitch black and cold, and realizing that I hadn't talked at all that day. And, like, not even just, like, I hadn't seen anyone, but, like, I genuinely hadn't said a word out loud all day, because I'd been, I don't know, reading, walking, doing my only two hobbies at the time, which were reading and walking, and this song had just come out, and I was like, oh, this song is so good. And I played it on this speaker that I had found in the back room of one of the old classrooms, and I just would found it in this like aux cord that had been chewed by a mouse but somehow still worked. And I like carried it through this like knee-deep snow, like a baby, and I carried it to the cabin and eventually found a way, like if I turned it this way and that way, then the aux cord would work. And I played this song, and then I played it again. And again and again. I just like, I was like addicted to it when it first came out. And I mean, like, it was insane. And I just danced and danced until I was like dizzy and falling down. And it sounds like this crazy moment, but in the time it didn't feel crazy, even though I know if anyone had walked by, they would have thought I was crazy. But I mean, at that point, the only thing that would have walked by was like a bear or a coyote. Maybe some eagles. And if they thought I was crazy, then maybe I am, you know, like, so, and so this song is King by Florence and the Machine, one of her all-time best songs, which is controversial because a lot of her songs are amazing, but this song is just so special.
We argue in the kitchen about whether to have children, about the world ending in the scale of my ambition, and how much is art really worth. If everything you're best at is the thing that hurts the most, but you need your rotten heart, your dazzling pain like diamond rings. You need to go to war to find material to sing. I am a mother, I'm a bride,
Okay, so now that we are all dizzy with that song, I hope our listeners are dizzy with it too. I just want to say that I'm noticing that this love note is more than a love note to a cabin. It's like a love note to your former self. And I think it's a really cool idea that music can connect us to the past. I'm sure we've all listened to a song and thought, oh my goodness, like I remember when I used to listen to this every day and I felt completely differently about myself and the people that I'm with. And that's really cool. So I'm really thankful that you've brought this idea on the show, and I hope it keeps showing up in the future.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this song, yeah, brings back so many memories of like such a specific time when I was living in the cabin, and like that kind of moment right when the loneliness began to like abate and I started feeling comfortable and dare I say happy, all alone, which is kind of the next song also is very reminiscent of that too. And it's by the band The Fleet Foxes, who, I mean, like, if you've heard their voice, like, they sound like they're supposed to just be, like, on a porch in a cabin. Like, that's just what mm-hmm. their voices sound like. When the dust kind of settled on that loneliness that I was feeling, I think that's when the peace really began. And I felt like, it sounds, again, so dramatic, but I don't know, I'm a dramatic person, so maybe it's okay. It felt like I was going through the stages of grief at this point. Like, I had been so sad, and then mm-hmm. I'd been kind of frustrated and scared, and now I was kind of coming around to this feeling of peace mm-hmm. And contentedness. This song played in my headphones or just tucked into the breast pocket of my jacket during so many walks. Mm-hmm. There are a ton of trails around site where I was living where I was able to just walk and be acquainted with what it meant to be alone and to be alone in the forest, which I would say is a really different sensory mm-hmm. experience than just being alone normally. And it was just so much fun. I mean, especially I was there during the winter where, again, like I said, we had a lot of snow that winter. It was pretty, mm-hmm. It was pretty snowy, like definitely like above my knee. And I mean, I'm not that tall, but above my knee. And it was eagle season. So you could see standing on the river, you could probably see like 30 eagles without even trying.
Wow.
And I don't know how close have you ever been to an eagle, but like it's pretty spectacular.
I just saw a video of a bald eagle and it was like demonstrating how big bald eagles are. So that's top of mind for me. They are so big.
They're so big.
Like they're like mega turkeys. Like they're bigger than turkeys even maybe.
No, bigger.
Don't quote me on that, but they're huge.
I feel like I've seen more eagles than turkeys, though. Yeah. I don't know if size comparison is useful for me.
They're maybe not like as kind of like fat as turkeys. Not to body shame turkeys, but like they're quite like when they fly, they look like bowling pins. Mm. Eagles, they're not very like I'd say beautiful when they fly.
Eagles?
Yeah, like they look
majestic, surely.
I don't know. Sometimes they do look like bowling pins. I love eagles. However, the occasional bowling pin vibe from them.
Also, if anyone wants to see many turkeys, Salt Spring Island has one farm that has so many turkeys. And if you go like, they all like do it back.
Good to know.
I bet if you did that to an eagle, it would do something too. Probably like, they just kind of stare at you. And obviously, they're not going to attack you, but it kind of is a little jarring. Mm. It was pretty spectacular. And I mean, like, just to be able to be there in nature, in a pretty spectacular forest that, like, I mean, Squamish is special for many reasons, but the fact that even in the dead of winter, there was so much life was spectacular. And I would walk up along the river. There's like a big embankment along the sides of the Chequemus. And so you'd walk up along it just listening to this song and this whole album, really. I'd listen to it on the old porch and I would listen to it wrapped up in my blankets. And I would listen to this song and just it was just so peaceful. So it was Wading in Waste High Water by Fleet Foxes, specifically the Solstice version, that recording of it.
Summer all over.
That is a beautiful song. It feels very seasonal if you're listening to this episode around the time when it's coming out. And I can absolutely picture you on your walks. The listener was not privy, but we were just chatting. And I was saying, when I asked Brynn to do the episode, I assumed that she might do it for her partner, Christian, because I've seen them on Instagram, and frankly, if the photos indicate anything, they're the most stunning couple in the history of the universe. So gorgeous, so beautiful, so cute. And the only thing that could have topped that is clearly this incredible idea to do it for the cabin, but might I be correct that the next song has a little something to do with him?
Oh, you'd be so correct. yeah, this song comes with a long story. Mainly, though, it's an ode to the time that I spent with Christian in the cabin. The easiest way to describe him is that he's the love of my life. I feel like that's like kind of the catch-all phrase for all the many things I'm about to say about him. I'm like lost for words. when I first met him, I knew he was really special, and I think I was not even gauging it well enough when I said that I thought he was special. Like, because when we actually started dating, I was proven wrong somehow, because he wasn't just special, he was more than that somehow, which I've never really met anyone like that. So I don't really know how to describe it that well. But basically, we started dating the January that I was living in the cabin. And I know I mentioned that I spent a lot of time alone, so you might be confused. But we were and still currently are in a long-distance relationship, and his school program is very intense. So, we just didn't get to see each other that much. But in January, he came for an entire week, and he stayed with me in the cabin. And it was kind of like the cabin liked him too, which I know it's not a sentient cabin. But it was crazy. Like, the shower pressure was better, the room was warmer, the stove seemed to cook more evenly. Like, everything just was better. And it felt like the cabin liked him too. Having him there, like, if only for a few days at a time, will just be so high up in the fond memories that I have of being in the cabin. And mainly, though, it was where I told him that I loved him for the first time. And it was actually a week and a day into dating, after a long lead up of being friends first, yes, but after a week and a day of dating, after an evening of watching Pride and Prejudice and drinking red wine, I had spent weeks keeping it in, and so much so that it almost exploded out of me and I started sobbing. And the poor guy was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? Like, what happened? And I was like, very dramatic, but apparently couldn't keep in the joy of how I was feeling. And if I try hard enough, I can hear the eagles chirping and the river rushing. And when I knew that I was dating the person that I was going to spend the rest of my life with, it's really not that hard to recall that memory. Very sappy. But there's a quote from one of my favorite books, Circe by Madeline Miller, that says, in a solitary life, there's a rare moment when another soul dips near yours, as stars once a year brush the earth. Such a constellation was he to me.
I'm gonna cry.
And it just, feels like the perfect way to describe those really precious moments that we had, especially in the beginning of our relationship in the cabin. And we're both major music lovers, so if we're not listening to like some ridiculous podcast or like a Harry Potter audiobook, we're listening to just a ridiculous variety of music, mainly like ranging from movie scores to like Celtic bagpipe music. There's really no measure here. I even have an entire playlist dedicated to music that reminds me of him, so there are like 1,000 songs I could have picked, but mainly I wanted to pick one that reminded me of him, but also one that I thought might make him smile, because I've really quickly realized since those amazing kind of soft days at the beginning of our relationship that making him smile might be one of the greatest privileges of my life. And so that's why I picked this song, which is...
I think we need to bring Bryn back for, like, a part two.
I just really love my boyfriend. I can't help it.
But this song is In a Good Way by Faye Webster.
Okay. I'm smiling so hard that it hurts.
I didn't know I was capable being happy right now, but you showed me how. I didn't know that you were right in front of me until I looked up.
Apologies, I'm still recovering from the sweetness of what was said before that song. I'm gonna need several hours. But yeah, just simply lovely, to be honest. It sounds like Christian's a very lucky guy, and yeah. We were saying, like, you do have to do a part two, like, genuinely. It's so nice to hear. I'm such a sappy person, so I could listen to you all day.
Thank you. I could probably talk about him all day, so it's a good thing that we have a time limit on this episode.
So this next song, you know, we can talk about, you know, you're a very multifaceted person. You have this great partner, you have this great job that you had, and you're a great student, and I know that you are also close with your family. Tell us a little bit about them and living with them now, which I think you do.
I do. So after living in Squamish, I moved back in with my parents because of the cost of living crisis, man. It never never fails to send you back to your parents, which is, in my case, not bad because I love my parents. And this next song reminds me a lot of my family for a few different reasons. I mean, initially I chose it because of the similar reasons as the Fleet Foxes song, was that like peacefulness and that loveliness that I felt from it during this time. But also it reminds me of my sisters. So I have two sisters, an older sister and a twin sister, and they're both just like egregiously talented people. And not even in a bitter way, but genuinely like are way cooler than me, and I'm not even mad about it because they're my sisters. Like my older sister is like a badass like wildfire fighter who backcountry skis and like generally like kicks ass and takes
That's
names.
Awesome.
And then like my twin sister flies planes and rides a motorcycle and like yeah, I know. Like it's just ridiculous. And she like works as like the one of the like emergency operators on a ski mountain. Like yeah, my sisters are really cool, and my sisters are really good singers. And so obviously I've always had an affinity for sister bands, which this next band is, like the Chicks, like First Aid Kit, like Haim, like all these. I've always loved a sister band. I'm a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're filled to the brim with talent. So
I know you have a really good voice, right? You're burying the lead. So like, the three of you are incredibly talented. Do you ever sing all together? Would you ever form a band?
We used to when we were kids, because my parents are really good singers. Like my mom and dad are really musical people, and like there was not a moment when I was a kid that there was not music in my house. That there was not someone singing. Which is why I think like in that quietness that I had when I was finally allowed or had finally allowed myself to have this kind of peace and quietness, that I chose to fill it with music, was mainly like my parents. I mean, like they were such a huge influence, and it's just like your episode, like I super related to the way you talked about your dad and music, was just like, yeah, this makes so much sense. So the sister band, the Staves, which sings this next song, really reminds me of my sisters. We don't really sing together much these days, but my sister lives in Nelson, and then my twin sister is just off being generally very busy and badass. So, but when we were kids.
Someday.
You never know.
I'm looking forward to the day when I hear you all. And in the meantime, the Staves.
Yeah, in the meantime, Chicago by the Staves.
Mistakes.
things grow. We had our mindset. All things know, you had to find it. All things go,
another peaceful song, another great song to listen to while you're crunching through snow in the forest. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. If you could, you have one more day in the cabin. Mm-hmm. For some, you know, amazing reason, you're granted access. All your stuff is in there just like it was. You can choose the time of year. What's your day going to look like?
Oh, that's such a good question. If I'm picking time of year, I'm going to pick kind of like right now, actually, like mid-fall, because it would smell amazing with all the leaves. I mean, actually, it might smell like dead salmon, but all the leaves would smell good, and there'd still be some like visible life that you didn't have to go and seek out, which there's a beauty to, but sometimes you just want the life to be there. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see how beautiful the big leaf maple leaves are, like bigger than a dinner plate. And this time of year, there'd be salmon running. And ravens, and just like general very good times.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in the cabin, I would take a shower, which sounds weird, but the shower pressure was always really good, and so I was like really good showers. And
especially when Christian was there,
but then he would go in and it would be even better, and then I would be my turn, and the water would be cold. So what's that about? But I would fill up, okay, this is what I used to do. This was the routine. I would make a cup of tea, usually mm-hmm. peppermint, and then I would fill up a hot water bottle, like one of the old school, like, plastic ones.
I use one every day.
Yeah, religiously. And I'd fill that up with the same stovetop kettle, and I would stick it underneath my duvets, two duvets, mm-hmm. because of how cold it was. And then I would go for a walk. And then walk and walk until I simply couldn't walk anymore. Maybe listening to music, maybe an audiobook. I'm big on audiobooks.
Yet another thing we have in common.
Yeah, they're
I'm
so
obsessed
good.
With you.
They're so good. Or sometimes in silence, which, again, as time went by, it became more and more enjoyable. Mm. And then by the time I got back, I'd be really cold. My toes would be frozen. And, I mean, realistically, in Squamish, I'd be soaking wet. But in my ideal day, it's bright and sunny. But if we're talking reality, I'm soaking wet.
strip off all the wet layers, hang them to dry, and then crawl into cozy, warm, insulated bed and read or journal.
Amazing.
And that just would be perfect to me.
That sounds so beautiful. Thanks for describing the perfect day in the cabin.
Thank you.
I want to be there. I want to be there right now.
Yeah, honestly, it'd be really nice. Better than maybe being in university. Controversial opinion, but that'd be pretty nice right now. Mm-hmm. I could go for it.
So, Bryn, you've been an amazing guest. I wouldn't be surprised if you make your way back into the Love Notes universe, because Naomi is in love with you.
It's very mutual.
Growing to love you as well. And since you have listened to all of our episodes, you might know that before the last song, we ask that the guest speaks directly to whoever, whatever they are featuring. And then once you're done with that, you can go ahead and introduce the last song of this show.
Okay. So, dear cabin, thank you for all that you gave me. It was a really tricky time, and you somehow were always there. And even though you were cold, you were somehow always warm. And I appreciate that you were a bit of a break from the wind for all those months that I spent living there and crying there, dancing there, and learning what it meant to be alone. Of course, it was difficult, but it was also amazing and a time that I will treasure for the rest of my life. You gave me such sweet moments with the love of my life, and you gave me such sweet moments with myself, both of which, again, I will treasure forever. So, lots of love. Thank you. The next song is Traveler by The Weather Station, which, if you know anything about me, you know that I love The Weather Station, and that I also love her dear predecessor, not related at all, but just stylistically, Joni Mitchell. And this song is so special in many ways, which I'm just gonna let it speak for itself in its amazingness.
Just like a traveler, as I went walking in my street, every building so familiar, oh, but it's like I never seen him. There's the same rows of houses, row on row. I felt just like a stranger, set my key in the door and flex on the brick where the paint did not stick. I never could paint in love. Felt just like a tourist, seen it all for the first time, like a guest, unsure of what I would find. I set down my boots, we would hang out in suits, and I brushed the snow from my the skin I ever sent. Felt just like a trap. Stranger, uncertain and shy. Everybody's so well-meaning, everybody's being so kind. Called to see if I've been eating, wondered when to come by. You should've called somebody. You should've called somebody. Whatever came of this, I will. That you called me.
Wow. Beautiful song to end on for a beautiful episode.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to thank Bryn, who awkwardly is standing right beside us, so much for coming on the show, because we were just saying we felt completely transported to that cabin with her, and fortunately not with the dead rats, but just with the peace and like the journey. Thank you to Bryn so much for sharing all that, and that's what this show is all about, honestly, is because like just in hearing those songs and like hearing her stories, I feel that love that she feels for the cabin, and I feel so lucky that we got to listen in. I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah, well said. The only thing I can add is thanks, Bryn, for taking us into the double digits with Love Notes. This is our 10th episode.
Wow.
So I'm glad it was you. Yeah. Looking forward to, I don't know, the early 10s, eventually the teens. Can't wait to see what happens to it.
If you're listening along, thank you so much. If anyone would like to reach out to us or follow us on Instagram, we're LoveNotesCITR on Instagram, and we make a fun little image to go along with each episode. So we'll be posting a sweet little image of Pika's cabin. Feels like it's ours, girl. It feels like it's ours after how much we've shared today. Bryn's cabin, and you'll be transported there even more upon seeing it. So
yeah, if you're interested in making a love note for someone that you love, or this newly opened category for your former self, or a building.
It's flexible.
A time.
If you're creative,
let us know.
Brand, slide into our DMs, dare I say.
Yeah, and tune in 2 weeks, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. for episode 11.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Bryn.
Attenzione. Qui è sempre Radio Alice, abbiamo la polizia fuori dalla porta, abbiamo la polizia fuori dalla porta con i colpetti antiproiettili, le pistole in mano e tutte queste cose qua.
On January 17th, UBC Radio CITR 101.9 FM presents our 24 hours of radio art programming featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient, drone, field recording.
You're listening to UBC Medicine Learning Network Presents on CITR Radio.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Meducators podcast, where we invite members of the UBC medical education community to tell their